Okay, picture the thing that you've always wanted to learn. Maybe it's how to play chess or creative writing or gardening. Now picture learning that thing from the person who's literally the best at it in the world. That is what you get with Masterclass. Masterclass is such an easy way to help you learn more about something you're interested in. You can seriously find classes on everything from turning your passion into achievements with cultural icon Martha Stewart to principles of improv from Amy Poehler. Are you kidding me? Y'all, I did a cooking class with Gordon Ramsay. And it was so much fun. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best and become your best. Masterclass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with over 200 plus of the world's best. For just $10 a month, an annual membership gets you unlimited access to every instructor. And you can access Masterclass on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Don't waste another minute to start your learning journey with Masterclass. Right now, our friends get an additional 15% off of any annual membership at masterclass.com/soundsfun. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/soundsfun. masterclass.com/soundsfun. Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of That Sounds Fun. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs. So happy to be here with you today. Our music in the background is from our good friend, Mr. John McLaughlin. Make sure you check out his album, Angst and Grace. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at Westrock Coffee. Westrock Coffee believes in people and the drive not only to survive, but to live with dignity and achieve greatness. Westrock works with coffee farmers in developing countries like Rwanda and Honduras to ensure they are able to provide properly for their families. Many farming partners are women and are providing for their family on their own. Westrock pays a fair price to farmers for their coffee and offers support and training to help them grow their business. Westrock's impact helps farmers truly thrive, and it's the coffee you can be proud to drink. Find Westrock Coffee on Amazon and other retail stores around the United States like Kroger, or go to westrockcoffee.com to learn more. Today on the show, this is one of those friends that you're like, why hasn't Meredith been on the show yet? Meredith Andrews and I have been dear friends since 2011 or 12, something like that. So for a long time. And we see each other and I'm always like, Mer, come be on the podcast. She's always like, oh yeah. And then we just never do it. And finally, we are sitting down and getting to talk about her music, her family, and what she has got going on. Her new album, Faith and Wonder, is a live worship album that is so good. It just released on Friday. And so it is available for you. You should make sure you grab it. But here's my conversation with the always wonderful and dear. And of course, I cried. Here's my conversation with Meredith Andrews. Mer, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having
me. Let's just jump in.
Let's just go.
I always find with my actual like close friends that I haven't seen in a while, the better thing is just to go versus
let's just
like
dive in.
Let's catch up for 30 minutes because then what happens is we have lost 30 minutes of our time for recording.
No, that's true, which we already were catching up a good bit. Right. I'm glad you hit the record button.
Are you on the road right now? What does on the road look like
I'm
for
in
you?
Your office.
Yes, thank you. But, in this moment, you're in my
yes,
office.
Yeah. So on the road for me looks like a women's event, usually women's conferences on the weekends. It's not really a tour bus, although I am doing one weekend of Outcry in May that I'm super excited about.
That's
amazing. So I'll jump on the bus for that. But I rarely am on a bus anymore just because of family. And it doesn't make as much
sense.
You're
like, can I have five bunks, please?
No, exactly. And none of them will, well, only my husband will actually contribute to the show.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We need three bunks for three very cute people who will not be helping.
Exactly. I might could teach them how to wrap a cord or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Matt's probably old enough he can like sell a thing.
I mean, I'm sure he could. I think he would probably love it. The other day at church, I tried to get him from kids' church, and he was like, Mom, I'm helping. I'm tearing down chairs. I'm like, well, we got to go get dinner. He's like, well, let me finish. I'm like, okay. But it was actually so sweet. And I'm like, well, this might be your thing. So
I would love to talk to you about church for a second because y'all go The Belonging.
Yes.
And I have been amazed to see God has moved in your family at The Belonging.
Yeah.
Is that a fair way to put that?
That's absolutely fair.
How do you feel different because of the church you've plugged into?
Yeah. Well, I think I had been longing for a very long time to be a part of a church that there was just so much freedom in worship. And it was always only about Jesus.
Yeah.
And not that other churches that I've been a part of weren't like that, but I think I was just hungry for something more to go, no, actually God has something for us every time we show up.
Yeah.
And he might blow our minds and it might not be comfortable and it might be bigger than we can imagine. And I just love that kind of philosophy. And even just seeing it in my marriage and in my kids, I think are the, because those are the closest things to me. Those are the things that I've seen the most growth in. Even in just the way of faith, praying for big things, asking God for big things and watching him come through.
Right.
It's pretty insane. And even like my kids now, they just have this natural propensity to lay hands on people and go, God, I just ask for healing for this person.
No.
And they don't even second guess. They're just like, this is what God does.
Yeah.
He heals us what he promised us. This is part of the gospel.
Yeah.
Is healing heart, soul, mind, body, spirit, all of it. So, you know, I love being a part of a house that is unapologetic in the way that they lift up the name of Jesus. There are a lot of amazing, gifted, anointed people in our church, but it's not about any of those people.
Yeah.
And all the people that you even see on the worship team, we just all volunteer, you know, except for Andrew, who's just a
Because he's literally like
soul.
The staff guy.
He's the staff guy, and he's amazing.
And he should.
Yes. So
I love his voice, too.
I know. His voice is insane.
Gosh,
he's
so
one of my
cool.
favorite people.
Yeah.
That guy, every time I tell people a lot, whenever we do, whenever I lead worship with him, he always says, this is going to be the greatest night of our lives, guys.
No.
But he truly means it.
Yeah.
It's like he just loves to set that bar and just go, we got to come expect it.
Yeah.
I'm expecting God to move because anytime we show up, he's going to show up when we ask him to. So I just love that about him. But one of the other things too, for me personally, the first time I ever set foot on stage at Belonging to lead worship, I think I was pretty much shaking in my boots when I got
really?
Up there. Yeah, because I understood the weight of that stage, if you will, the responsibility of it, because you don't get up there and sing some songs.
Right.
It's like you get up there because you've spent time in the presence of God and you believe that he wants to bring his people somewhere.
Yeah.
And so.
And that's your home.
And that's exactly.
Yeah.
It is. But the first time I led worship there, I remember it was Father's Day, probably 3 years ago. And coming up 3 years ago. And at the end of it, I was just blown away by what God was doing in the room. And I felt like there was no glass ceiling. There was no hindrances or even reservations from the people. They were just all in, hungry, ready for whatever God had. And Alex gets up and she goes, you know, it's Father's Day, and I know this is a hard day for a lot of people. But I just really believe that God wants to remind you guys, remind all of us that he is a good and perfect father. And so I want Meredith just to sing out, just kind of prophesy and sing out, and just whatever the Lord, you know, brings to her mind. And I just want you to receive. Yeah. So I'm like, we didn't talk about this.
right.
So I'm just back there going, oh, I don't know if I can do that, but we'll see what happens. And really, you just, I think it was just so beautiful how God just kind of threw me in, because I was kind of, I felt inadequate. I was like, God, I know what this house is about, and I'm coming out of a season of refreshment, and but also healing from some woundedness, and just being burnt out and stressed out, and I don't know that I can carry this, but it's not about me anyway, and so I'm just gonna step in, and I don't even know what I said, but it just felt like something shifted in the room, and it was just really cool to see. And so anyway, it's elevated my own worship. And I think being a part of the Belonging, when I go out, I have a different lens through which I see through. And I also have different expectations. I have higher expectations for what God wants to do, whether I'm in a charismatic church or a Baptist church, which I go to a lot of Baptist churches and a lot of, you know, kind of more fundamental conferences and things like that.
Yeah.
But I just love to just say to people, like, God has something for you today. Just grab a hold of it.
Yeah. I think the amazing thing is it's not about being at everybody in the nation coming to the Belonging.
Yeah.
It's about everybody finding the church that is for them in their city.
No, that's exactly
right?
what happened.
And it's just amazing the way you and I have both ended up in churches, in leadership, and it has changed our lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is, I just think it's awesome.
Yeah. It
I feel like once you, but I'm the same way. I am more nervous teaching here at Crosspoint
right.
than I am anywhere else, because I'm in all the places we go, we're a fireworks show in their year.
Sure.
Like we're a conference or totally. We're a Sunday morning or we're like a special event.
And then we go home afterwards.
And then we go home.
Yeah.
But this, we're like sliding in on a Sunday or Tuesday for you guys as well as Sundays.
Yeah.
We're sliding in and going like, there's a big, long story God's telling every week yep. here. And yep. I get to be part
exactly.
of it.
Exactly.
And so the weight of that
yeah.
feels heavier to me at home yeah. than anywhere else.
Absolutely.
Do you feel that too?
I think that's articulated very well.
And I think the road's I think that. The road matters too. I don't want anybody to hear us saying that places totally. We show up on the road aren't as important as home. It's not that. It's just I see the every week story here
yeah, yeah.
and I see a spot that I'm supposed to fill in that and
right.
that's different than the road.
Right. But I also think that when we're home, that's what's fueling what we're doing on the road.
100%.
You know, and I've seen that even more so since we've been at the Belonging. Like this is where I go to get filled up.
Yeah.
This is where I go to be with my family and people that I love and trust and,
yeah.
and walking through life with basically. And just like that's where I go to be planted and then and rooted so that when I go out, I'm pouring out from the overflow of what
yes.
God's doing there.
Yes.
So
there's
really
a different, I mean, it's funny to me because people on the road will say things like, I saw you 2 years ago and you teach different.
Yeah.
I always go, it's my pastor's fault. I'm like, it's what's happening at home. It just
no,
is like
awesome.
Getting on me. And then it spills
that.
Out when I'm out on the road. I mean, that's just
so
how it
good.
Goes. But, and I think the opposite is true. It has been apparent to me when I'm on the road and I'm empty at home.
Right, for sure.
And I go, and that's when you and I were sitting together at the Belonging when
yeah.
I was, and when I needed somewhere
yeah.
that I could be filled up and not yeah. be mourning
yeah.
Because I was still having to travel every week,
absolutely.
Even though I was brokenhearted in my church.
For sure.
And so it has been such a joy to watch. I mean, you know me well enough. I'm not saying you were bad and now you're good, or you were lost and now you're found. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying
no, totally.
I can see change in us.
Yeah.
Because we have plugged into local churches.
Yeah.
And it could have been East Nashville Baptist for you and
yeah.
West Nashville Baptist for me.
For sure.
And it would have been right still. We'd
yeah.
be seeing the same outpouring in
yeah.
our lives.
Yeah.
Because we were plugged into a local church.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to be different, you know?
Yeah.
Like I want.
I
those
hope
comments,
we've grown.
Those conversations,
yeah.
exactly.
From
I don't want to
when
stay
we
the
met
same.
7 years ago or whatever. You know, like, what if we were like, man, you are just
well,
the same.
Right. You sound as, the yeah. same. You sing the same songs.
Right.
You talk the same.
You have the same words
right,
on stage
right.
as you did in 2012.
Same jokes.
Yeah. I do have some of the same jokes, Mayor.
That's okay.
I can't help that part.
I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
What were you doing? So when you and I met, literally 2012 or 11, when we were on Girls of Grace together,
yes.
what were you doing before that? Because I wouldn't do any of this before that.
I don't remember. Let's
yeah.
see. What was I doing before that? Before
were you already
Girls
traveling?
Of Grace?
Yeah. Were you already traveling a ton and doing
yeah,
all that?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah. It didn't really look like it does now. It wasn't as often. And it was smaller shows. I was doing more touring, like on a bus. I had Maverick in 2010, so that slowed down a little bit. But I was also working at a church mm-hmm. full time.
Oh, you're on staff full time.
I was on staff
okay.
full time. So and then so that gave me a limited number of weekends that I could actually travel.
Got it.
And then you know, being a mom, that also throws a wrench into things.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, you know, I'm like Remy. I have the tenderest heart in the world towards your middle
yeah.
because we were on the road when you had him, and then you showed up, and he was like 6 weeks old or something. I was like, let me hold that baby.
Yeah,
I need
just
that
turned,
baby.
He just turned six. It's really
I saw it
really
on Instagram.
Crazy.
I was like, I cannot believe.
Yeah.
That's to me, my friends' kids mark time for me a lot.
Right, funny.
Has that happened
yeah.
to you too?
Well, I mean, my
with
kids
own,
mark
yeah.
time. I'm like, I was pregnant then, and
yeah.
then I had a, yep,
yeah,
I, totally.
And so it's just fascinating to be like, man, that has been that whole child's life.
Right.
That I have known him.
I know.
And he would, at the store, if we saw him at Kroger, he'd be like, I don't know who you are. And I'd be like, I held you like at 6 weeks old.
Probably have the picture to prove it somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. Let's talk a little bit, if you don't mind, about when you're on church staff. You're on staff
yeah.
at Harvest Bible.
Yeah.
And they are going through it right
yeah,
now.
They are.
And you're down here and they're up there. What has it been like for you watching people you love suffer and loss at
yeah.
a church?
It's been one of the hardest things because it's hard to explain, Annie. It's like we were part of that body for so long, for over 10 years I was.
Yeah.
And I experienced nothing but kindness and generosity and grace toward, you know, from the people that I served and the people that I worked alongside. And granted, there's no perfect church.
Yeah.
Absolutely, there's not. And I think, yeah, it's made up of a bunch of imperfect people. And but right now, we do have friends that are still there that we love very dearly, that we consider family. And, you know, we've talked with a lot of them over the phone and just try to help make sense of it. But there's, you really can't, you can't make sense of it. I think you just go, all right, well, God will not tolerate sin in his church for very long. And I think especially when it is against his bride, against the people that he loves, and it's done in a way that's, you know, controlling or whatever, I think he just puts his foot down and goes, enough is enough. Yeah. And what I believe for Harvest is what I believe for every church that has hemorrhaged and felt like it was dying, is that God is never finished.
Yeah.
And the work that he wants to do now is different than what he did in the past. Yeah. And he did a lot in the past, even amidst things that should, that were going on that shouldn't have been going on. God still used Harvest. Like, thousands of people gave their lives to Jesus. You know, thousands of people were discipled.
Real. Yep.
Very real.
Yep.
I think the thing that I struggle with the most is how many of those people will walk away and go, I'm never stepping foot in another church just because of you know, the actions of one person. And I can't control that or fix that, but I have to trust the Lord and pray for those people that God would woo their hearts and that and remind them, or maybe for the first time show them that it was never about, again, one person or one ministry. And that's where, you know, churches get in trouble when they make it about one man or one woman, or, you know, unless it's Jesus.
Yeah.
He's got to be the one person that everything is founded on. So, yeah, I'm just believing that God, that the best days for Harvest are ahead, that God has amazing things still for that church, and that even as he's stripped some things away and they are at rock bottom, I mean, from here, the only way to go is up. And I'm believing that God is going to rebuild and heal and comfort. And I mean, it doesn't mean it's not going to be a long road.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long road, and people have to be committed to seeking God's face, letting go of, you know, really silly division, which, you know, I understand that the things that they can't agree on are weighty. It's not like, you know, do you like pink or purple better?
Right,
you know,
right, so, right.
I get it. But I think at the end of the day, like, division doesn't come from heaven.
Yeah.
And God wants to unify and restore and make it better than it ever was. And in the last couple of weeks, I've just had this phrase, like, rise from the ashes, just kind of circling in my head, because I what I believe God is calling that church to, and any church that's just hit the, you know, ground zero. So
I feel like I want to call them and be like, can I come to a Sunday totally for free? Don't even publicize it.
Right.
Not because I'm Annie F, but because we survived.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I want to be like, we are still... Right. There are pieces of people's hearts that are still rising from the ashes in our church. And there are people who walked away that you don't know where they are.
Right.
We can't know where they are.
Right.
But I got to be at Willow Creek on an important Sunday and kind of say that. And now I want to be like, Harvest, just let me.
Yeah.
Like, not because of who I am, but because of the story we've lived
exactly.
here.
Exactly. And like, now that you've walked through that and you've survived it, like, you have an authority to speak into it in a way of bringing about comfort and encouragement that maybe others don't have because they haven't seen it firsthand.
I mean,
yet.
I've never loved the local church like I do now because I saw it survive.
Right.
Because I thought, I don't know what's going to happen to my church when our pastor leaves like that.
Wow.
And then it wrinkled and it survived.
Wow.
And then you go, oh, well, I'm tying myself to this.
Yeah.
Not to this building or to this name,
right.
But to the bride of Christ, local church.
That's
I'm tying myself to that.
That's good.
I don't know where my work will go,
yeah.
but my heart is going to be tied to the local church because it survives.
Yeah.
There's something to it.
That's
There's
right.
a reason that it's
there
lasted
is
this
a
long,
reason.
You know?
Absolutely.
So I can only imagine some of the depth of the pain you and your friends have experienced. So thank you for even being willing to talk about it. But
yeah.
I just think people need to hear, whether their church is big or small, that when it feels like it's all falling apart, you can stay.
That's right.
Or you can go do what's obedient.
That's right.
it's not right to stay. It's not right to go. It's right to obey.
That's right. And they're like, for us, God released us from there, you know, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful. Right? I'm grateful that we're not there in the middle of this. But I still have friends that are, like you said, they're being obedient and they're going to stick it out.
Yeah.
And my heart just breaks for every person. Like, I can still see the faces of every person and where they would sit on each campus. And I love those people so much. And I mean, if anybody's even listening from there, like, I just want to speak love and encouragement over them because I know that God has better days ahead. And
how did you know what it felt like when y'all were released? When you say that, what does that mean? How did you know? Were y'all already thinking of moving down here?
We had thought about it and we had been praying about it. Yeah. And every time we'd pray about it, we felt it was almost like we were hitting a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden that just changed. It just shifted. The more we started to pray about it, the more we felt like God was giving us a window.
Mm.
Like, and just saying, this is the time frame. And it's going to be in about 6 months or whatever. And so it's kind of a chance for us to prepare our hearts and to also have conversations and go, guys, this is where God is leading us.
Mm-hmm.
And when God led us to Nashville, it wasn't because he led us to something. It wasn't because we had this big opportunity or God offered a job or anything like that.
Right.
Like, we just kind of took a step of faith because God said, it's time. It's time to just go out on a little adventure. And and it's been really amazing and hard and good and all the things. You know, our first year in Nashville was one of the hardest years of our lives. It was a really hard year in our marriage. Just trying to, make sense of which way is right side up and where are we supposed to be and what are we supposed to be doing and who are our people. And we felt very alone and isolated the first year that we were in Nashville because, you know, like in any town or any place you go, you have to be intentional with relationships. But Nashville is even different, even more so, especially in like what we do for everyone that travels. And it's harder to make time to be with people if they're on the road weekly.
But like if y'all came to town, everybody would be like, oh my gosh, let's get dinner.
Exactly.
And let's see, because you're here for the weekend.
Right.
But then when you move here, people are like, I've got stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
So we were kind of facing that. But I think it was actually really good for us because God was doing some refining in Jacob and in me. And just kind of stripping away the old and doing something new. So we had to walk through that really hard year. And we were actually at Church of the City for the first year we were here. And that was like some healing time for us. And anyways, I don't even know where I was going with that. But
let me tell you, can we talk about Jacob for a second?
Sure.
Because if I cussed on this podcast, I would use words to describe how talented Jacob is. He is so talented.
He is very talented.
It's just unbelievable.
He's kind of a genius. And that's that thing, like people don't understand because he's pretty behind the scenes. He likes it that way. He's really quiet when you first meet him until you get to know him and then you understand how deep of a well he actually is.
And hilarious.
Like his sense of humor is just a riot. And sometimes I don't really get it, but... Anyway, but it's funny to a lot of other people. So you can look at his Instagram to see his sense of humor.
That's right.
But he is, he's actually a genius.
And he plays just about every instrument I've ever. Yes. I've never seen an instrument show up around him that I haven't seen him be able to play.
Right, totally.
And he writes incredible songs.
Yeah,
Is there one that we're all singing right now that he's written? I feel like I saw his name on something we sang.
I mean, there's Spirit of the Living God, which he wrote
that's
with
right.
Mia. He's written a bunch of stuff with Jesus Culture.
I wish I could remember. I walked by. It was Baptism Sunday. Here's all I can tell you all I can remember. It was Baptism Sunday, and I just baptized someone here, and I was walking backstage, and they had put the CCLI.
Right.
Is that what it is?
Uh-huh.
And where they list the songs and the songwriters. Yeah. And I just, like, scoot through them with my eyes just because thought reading. But I just like to see if anybody jumps out. And I went, I didn't know Jacob wrote that song. And
then
I kept walking, but I don't remember what it was. So we sang one of Jacob's songs.
That's amazing. I don't remember all the songs he's written either. Yeah. I can't even remember the songs I've written. So
I mean, that's the truth.
Yeah.
When y'all met, our whole month of February was couples.
Yeah.
And it was so fun.
Because
we heard so many, like, here is the theme that was in every one of them. I was running after Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They were running after Jesus.
Yeah.
There was a miracle moment where we connected.
Yeah.
But neither of us were running toward each other. We were running straight ahead.
Right.
But then we were together. How did you and Jacob meet?
Yeah. So I was on staff in Chicago and I was coming down once a month to write. And I happened to go to a GMA showcase where Jeremy Camp was playing. Had gotten invited by a friend of a friend, basically. And walk up in the lobby of the Renaissance Hotel where they were playing, and I see him, and I was like, well, that's different.
Yeah, right away, you're like, yes. He's cute.
Yeah, uh-huh. And Jacob says I touched his elbow before I said bye, and then he was like, oh, game on. So he went and played his show, and then I went out to Chili's.
Yep,
like right after, yep. With the band, with the whole band, and it was obvious we were interested in each other, but I wasn't going to be like, oh, here's my number, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So I just left, and I was like, well, Lord, you're just going to take care of this. But he like pulls up right alongside of me as I'm driving down, what is that, West End or something?
Yeah.
And I, for a minute, I started following him, and I'm like, what am I
doing?
Atta girl. And then I lost my nerve, and I was like, forget this. Like, it'll work out if it needs to work out. So then he went to Fido.
Yeah, the coffee shop.
The coffee shop. And
so you followed him enough that you knew where he went?
No, I didn't know that. I knew that.
Oh, okay. I was like, atta girl, man.
No. I stopped following him. He'd like turned off to go to Fido, and I got on 65 to go down to Brentwood where I was staying. So he Facebooked me, though. He found me on Facebook. Apparently, he didn't have internet at his apartment because they'd just moved in. So he goes to Fido to find me on Facebook, and he sent me a message, and I found it yesterday. I found it the next day.
I'd be like, bizarrely, 12 years into our marriage or whatever.
We have three children. Yeah, no.
I found it yesterday. So you found the next day you read it.
Yeah, and while I was in the studio. Yes. Yeah, he's hey, if you ever want to hang out when you're in Nashville, let me know. And left his number. I was like, well, I'm here now. I left my number.
Atta girl.
So he called me 30 minutes later, and we went on our first date that night.
Oh, my gosh. So, yep. Serious. Yeah, I mean, that was like fire right
away. Well, I was only going to be in town two more days.
Yeah.
So we had to make it happen. But we knew right away. So
knew. Marriage knew.
Like, he knew that, yes, he called his sister the night after we met and said he was going to marry me. And then I called my best friend the day after our first date and was like, I met the guy I'm going to marry. So, yeah.
My gosh. What did you know that I don't know?
Like, I don't know. It's a knowing you can't explain.
That's what everyone says. It's very hard to quantify.
You know, like they say, when you know, you know. Yeah. And you're like, what does that even mean? But now I get it now. Well, I mean, it's been almost 12 years. Back. Yeah.
I hope you get it now. Yes. You're like, I was right.
No, yeah, April will be 12 years since we met. So.
That's amazing.
Crazy.
Hey friends, just interrupting this conversation with Meredith to tell you about our good friends over at Samaritan Ministries. Healthcare sharing with Samaritan Ministries empowers Christians to change the culture of healthcare by directly helping one another with healthcare costs. Instead of sending money to a faceless organization for my healthcare provision, I send my money directly to another member to help them pay for their medical bills. I get to actually participate in meeting the financial element of that need. I get to pray for that person specifically, and I get to connect with them and speak truth and encouragement in the midst of it all, whether the need is a broken arm, pregnancy, or cancer. Healthcare sharing with Samaritan Ministries takes the radical impact of the gospel and applies it to healthcare. Find out more at SamaritanMinistries.org/thatsoundsfun. And now back to the show. This morning, Beth Moore did this, put a tweet out, and she said, she quoted something people said about Jesus in Mark where it says he does everything well. And then she said, I think we need to remember Jesus does everything well. So whatever you want him to do, he's going to do it well.
Yeah.
Just let him lead. Yeah. And all of a sudden I had this blink in my head of like, oh, I don't need to lead. And some dude doesn't need to lead.
Right.
Jesus is going to lead.
That's good.
So
that's awesome.
I have nothing to worry. Like, Jesus will lead through the situation, through the man in the situation, through me.
Yeah.
But Jesus is going to lead.
Yeah.
And so it just takes this pressure off of me trying to decipher things. And you didn't feel the pressure. You're like, I'm just going to go home. No, and if Jesus is doing this, I can't stop it.
Right. Exactly. Right? And that's what happened.
That's what you have to do is just, I think that for a lot of situations, we don't have to just talk about meeting a person, but I think some work things, I feel that way relationally where you just go, Jesus will fix it.
That's so good.
It takes the pressure off us, right? Right.
Like, I can't be bothered with that anymore. Yeah. Jeez. I'm like,
no.
Jesus, you got this, because I sure don't, you know? Like, I just need him to come through. And he does. And it's better when I just relinquish my, you know, illusion of control.
Yeah.
And
that it. It's just an illusion of
it
control.
It is.
I'm glad to hear that that's a thing for you too, because what's your Enneagram number?
Three.
A three. And I love a three. Our town, people ask me all the time, when are you going to have sixes? Because you never have sixes. I'm like, there are no sixes in Nashville.
There are no,
we're all threes and sevens and nines. I don't know how to help you.
Know
we're
six.
All threes who are accomplishing everything. Sevens yes. who are entertaining and nines yes. who are tour managing us. Like,
or fours. Jacob's
oh,
a four.
Yeah, there's
like
a lot of fours.
Real moody and yeah. creative.
They
and
stay home
authentic.
And write the songs.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
In the summer, we're doing a series where every show is going to be a specific number.
That's
so I'm like,
awesome.
You'll get your sixes, everybody. Put
that's
the brakes.
So fun.
But I have tons of threes because yeah. our town yeah. is full
of
threes.
Of them.
It's
I
absolutely
know.
Full of threes. But you have an illusion of control all the time
yes.
too, because I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a seven thing?
I think we just don't want pain, so we'll do anything we can
right.
to control a situation
yeah.
to keep us out of pain.
Yeah.
And what would be your motivation to succeed?
Yes.
And to be
to
seen
succeed.
As successful?
Yeah, and to do something, you know, I look with threes are driven just to do things that are purposeful.
Yeah.
And if I'm not doing something that feels purposeful, then I feel worthless.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess controlling situations to go like, yeah, I can make this happen.
Yeah.
I can do this, even though I don't have any time. I can make it happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then
that's how you got in here today.
Yeah.
You're like, well, yeah, I don't have any time, but I'll make it happen.
Annie, whatever. I've always got time for you.
Thanks, sister. Mutual,
it's
mutual.
True.
Okay, let's talk about your new album that came out last week.
All right.
Came out yes. on Friday. Why Fridays? Explain to me why Fridays.
I don't know. It used to be Tuesdays.
It used to be Tuesdays.
I mean, maybe in 3 years it'll be Saturdays.
Yeah, they just move
Thursdays.
Them. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't either.
I didn't make that call.
Okay,
nobody
so
asked me.
It's a live album.
It's
and
a
you've
live
never done that, Mayor.
Album.
I cannot quit A Million Saints.
Well, thanks. I'm glad.
It is such a good, like, it's just a great song.
Thank you. I feel like I've never written a song like that before. And
really?
Honestly,
what does that mean?
Well, I don't know.
People don't know I was laughing because I took a drink of the green juice you brought me. But yeah, you said I don't know about green juice. So just so you know, I got real close for you.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Good thing you got a like big fuzzy microphone in mm-hmm, front of your face mm-hmm, so that would have mm-hmm. like taken care of most
I'd
of
have
it.
Been real.
Yeah. But I okay, so that song actually was sent to me in an email. Phil Wickham wrote it with Mia
yeah.
and Hank and
yeah.
and he passed on it. So he was my publisher was like, "Hey, would you want to take a crack at this or listen to it, see if it would be a fit for you?" And I
yeah.
listened to it and I loved it. Then
I love Phil Wickham.
I know, I do too. Who doesn't? He's like one of the sweetest humans on the planet and just an insane voice and
yeah.
amazing heart.
We're on the same event in 2020 and I'm like,
oh,
can't wait.
Fun.
I'm like, I'm only a year and a half from being friends
oh
with Phil Wickham.
That's amazing. And then you can have him on the podcast.
That's right.
But yeah, so back then it was actually called, the song was called A Thousand Tongues.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Which makes sense for
right.
the song. If
yes.
It's in the,
yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I think there's actually already a few songs that are out there, that, you know, called A Thousand Tongues. I was like,
yeah.
What if it's more about like A Million Saints?
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
So I got in a room with Hank and Mia, the other writers on the song, and we rewrote some of the chorus and the second verse and a little bit of the bridge. And
how does that work? And then is it still Phil's song or is
oh,
it
yeah.
all of y'all?
No, it's all of us now.
Okay.
So there's four of us.
And he's fine with that.
He's, I mean,
he goes,
I hope
yeah,
so.
Yeah, fix it.
I didn't really hear from him, so I hope he's okay.
Hey,
I don't
Phil.
Even know if he knows that we recorded it. So, Phil.
I bet he does.
Surprise.
He should just check. He needs to check his royalties.
Right, maybe. Well, it would be too early for that, but maybe just his Instagram because
yeah,
I tagged
right.
him.
That's
but
right.
Anyway. Yeah, so. I don't know. I think it's just to me, it's a picture of the global church.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times I can get really just pigeonholed, I guess, or just kind of narrow-minded in like the culture that I live in and this American church and the way
yeah.
that we do things. But in reality, like the larger part of the body of Christ is all around the world.
Yeah.
And I think it's beautiful just to step back and think about all the different tribes and tongues and languages mm-hmm. and nations that some that are experiencing persecution and others that their Christianity is very, very different from American Christianity in the sense that their lives depend on it and they know
yeah.
it. Our yeah. lives depend on it and we forget,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
But I think just thinking about like the bride of Christ as a whole, the whole world and what heaven's going to be like with all the different colors and
yeah.
Backgrounds and geez, I mean, even just like people who lived in different points of history. Like, it
right.
blows my mind.
Yeah.
And, A Million Saints doesn't dive, like, deep into all of that, but it does talk about generations and
yeah.
nations and how the song that we're all singing is holy. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It fires me up.
Yeah, me too, man. I, like, blare it in my car. I like I love tear that. It up.
Awesome.
And Faith and Wonder is what made you decide to do the whole thing live?
It just felt like it was time. I mean, I've led worship since I was 14.
Yeah.
And the only reason why I hadn't really done it before, I think, is because I was scared.
Really?
Yeah. Because when I first started doing records with a label, you know, the question that I got asked probably 8 times a day was, are you a worshiper, like a worship leader? Or are you an artist? And I'm like, why can't I be both?
Yeah,
you
know, I don't understand.
Why do I have to pick one? You right. know, that sounds cruel. But right. Yeah, and I think not until the last few years when worship has become so much more, I mean, you hear
like
it on
radio.
The radio.
Why is that? How did that happen?
I don't know. I think people are just hungry for encounters with God. And when you sing songs that are to God, like they're vertical, they're I'm singing this about God, but I'm also knowing that I'm singing it to him, that he hears.
Yeah.
And it's like a prayer from my heart to him. Like there's something about that that just engages us with his heart.
Yeah.
And I think people are hungry for that. They don't want just like nice little songs that make them feel warm and fuzzy. Like they need the presence of God, and they want the songs that take them there.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it is for me, at least. And I can only really speak for myself, but it's been a long time coming, this record. And I've done live albums with Vertical and with The Belonging, but never like by myself, Meredith Andrews, you know? So it was a little bit daunting, but also really
What's the
amazing.
Fear about a live album that's different? Is it the liveness?
Yeah, it's the liveness. There's less room for error, and what if this doesn't translate, and what if it doesn't really like cut through and do what we're hoping that it'll do, and what you know, falls flat. And but at the end of the day, like, that's just our lives. Like, we have things in our lives where we just take a step of faith and we just go, this could fail.
Right.
But regardless, God is still for me and he's still with me. So I just have to be obedient regardless of the outcome.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've learned over the last 10 years of just doing all this. Like, I've faced a lot of disappointment, and, you know, people are like, what are you talking about? Like, your life seems pretty cush and great. And but I even had a friend recently say to me, I mean, a person that goes to our church that, I mean, I guess acquaintance is a better word. And she just said, you can tell with the songs that you write that you've been fighting a lot of hidden battles. And I think, like, and that's true.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm hiding anything from anyone. It's just that every day, like, marriage and parenting and relationships and ministry and future and all of that, like, I struggle with all of that. I wrestle with all of that. I have to trust the Lord with all of that. Anxiety, but even just like feeling inadequate. Like, sometimes as a mom, I'm just like, what am I actually doing here? am I doing more harm than good? You know, like, I, especially like when I travel, and this is just me being super vulnerable and honest, but like when I travel and my kids now are at an age where they're able to articulate, mom, like, please stop leaving. And and I'm like, maybe I should, but I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I'm in that place right now of just going, okay, God, what is this season supposed to look like? Because I know that you've given me a gift, but my children are also gifts that are irreplaceable.
Right.
And you could, you know, if I need to sit down for a season and shut up, then just let me know.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I am right now. The Lord doing things in me, like a deep work in me, in hidden seasons and in hidden pain and in the wrestling, and just learning how to quiet my heart and listen for his voice, where I'm not trying to control it and make it all happen, but I'm okay with the rest, and I'm okay with the silence, and I'm okay with the, I've got like some blank spaces on my calendar.
Yeah.
And, you know, that, I don't know why, but that sort of thing used to kind of freak me out, and I guess it's because I'm a three, but...
No, I'm with you. Yeah. And look at my calendar for next fall. Do you know that I'm not traveling at all in the fall?
I saw that, and I was like, Annie, that's amazing.
Well, no, I don't know if it's amazing, but the thing you are saying resonates so deeply with me of like...
Yeah.
There is fear to sitting down and being quiet.
Right.
And I'm still going to be working. I'm just not traveling and speaking, but I mean, I resonate with that, but also that feel of like, why am I asking this question now and I've never asked this before?
Right.
Why is that stirring in you now and it's never stirred in you before?
Yeah, well, I think the Lord has been trying to get my attention about it for a while. And I know my husband has. So I think it's just like, it's come to the point where I've just got to go, I can only say yes to what God says yes to for me. I love the way that the Helsers say it. They say, find the Father's invitation. So where is the Father's invitation? Is the Father's invitation in me staying home next weekend? Or is it going out and doing a women's conference in Tulsa?
Yeah.
You know? So I think I'm growing in that. I know I'm growing in that and learning. Because I mean, I dream about taking my family on the road in an RV one day, but that is not currently Jacob's dream.
Yeah.
So until the Lord gets us on the same page with that.
And how old are the kids?
8, 6, and 4.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So how do you hear the Lord? Because there's got to be so many. I mean, I'm in with you, but I think about our mom friends who are listening that are working multiple jobs or have a job and want to stay home or are staying home and thinking about, but are feeling what I would call like that stirring, like something's in you that maybe God is saying there's a change here. What? Yeah. How did you know God's voice and how do you hear him?
Well, if you feel that there's a stirring, and I sometimes say it as like, you know, when you're standing on the edge of something, but you don't know what, like there's going to be a transition. There's going to be a chance for you to just step out in faith or jump off the cliff, you know, or it might feel more accurate. But when you feel that stirring, I think you just go, okay, God, what is this about? Like my friend Lisa Johnson is really amazing. She's taught me a lot about just listening prayer, where you just ask God practical questions.
Does she have books or is she just a...
She doesn't have books. She teaches. She does... she has a company called Story U, and she goes into like major companies and teaches them how to tell stories.
Yeah.
But like Google and Nike and things like
that's
that.
Amazing.
But she partners with the Holy Spirit. And that's why she's like, that's my strategy. I ask the Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to say yes to? Mm-hmm. Or God, what do you want to show me about my life right now? Mm-hmm. And when he shows you something, you go, okay, what do you want to tell me about that thing? And so I think like just starting to ask God, like what, and it's scary at first. And you're like, am I just hearing the thoughts in my head? Like, and you might feel like that, but God is not going to let you fail when you sit down and you're intentional to quiet your soul and just go, God, I want to hear you speak.
Yep.
And he's not ever going to say anything that's going to contradict his word. So you don't have to worry about that. And if you do have a thought like that, you're just like, nope, this is what the
Bible
says.
And it's why we need to know the word.
Exactly.
Because it helps us learn his
discern.
Voice.
Yeah. Exactly. But I mean, Jesus even said like my sheep know the voice of their shepherd and I want to know his voice and I'm still growing in that,
Me
you
too.
Know? And so I'm trying to be more intentional with just getting alone in the morning or whenever I just have some time of quiet in the day and just go, God, is there anything about my life or this situation that you want to show me? Okay, what are the obstacles? Like, what is it that you're calling me to do? And what are the obstacles to get there? Or what are the, you know, just things like that. I mean, and write it down. You know, I don't think it has to be super complicated. I think it's just about fostering and facilitating this conversation that's ongoing with God.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're meant to be in is this, you know, pray without ceasing looks like always conversing, always communicating, just keeping the lines open and going, God, I want to hear you. You know, my ears are open.
How do you teach your kids how to hear God?
You just tell them you can hear God just what is he saying to you right now?
Uh-huh.
And Maverick sometimes will come up with the craziest stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, here's what that's, wow, that's amazing. Let's see if the Lord confirms his word because he will always confirm his
that's
word.
That's right.
And let's go back to scripture. And what does scripture say? And, but because you always want to encourage that. So even if they say something that's just completely out of the blue and like aliens are going to land on our planet in 4 years, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. Well,
we'll see if the Lord confirms
we'll
that.
We'll see if the Lord confirms that. And let's go back to the creation story.
Yeah.
When God said he made man and woman in his image, you know, like things like that. So, but I think it's so important and amazing just to encourage your kids, like listen for God's voice because he's always speaking.
Yeah.
What's he saying to you?
Yeah.
And man, can I just tell a quick story?
Oh my gosh, yes, you don't have to be quick. Everybody's like doing their laundry or on the treadmill. They're like so happy we're here.
Awesome, me too.
So you just tell whatever you want.
Perfect. Okay, so Remy, I actually have two stories, and they're both about Remy. So he, a couple years ago, I'll never forget this. We were sitting in the car, and out of nowhere, he goes, Mom? I was like, yeah, bud. He goes, I trust the Lord. I was like, you do? I was like, why do you trust the Lord? He goes, because he loves me. And Annie, I know that that's a really simple statement, but in my heart, it was profound because my firstborn type A, number three on the Enneagram, would say, I trust the Lord because I love him. But Remy said, I trust the Lord because he loves me.
Yeah.
And he, for a kid to understand that I am loved, therefore I can trust, that's a massive thing.
Oh my gosh.
And maybe God was just speaking through him to me that day because I needed to be reminded that I could trust God because he loves me and he always has my best at heart. Mm-hmm. And then...
How old do you think he was when that happened?
He was probably four.
That is crazy.
And then last year, he gave his heart to Jesus and Jacob prayed with him. They were up in their room and they have bunk beds, Maverick and Remy do. And Remy's like, I want to give my heart to Jesus. And Jacob, so Jacob prayed with him and it was like this sweet moment. He came down and told me all about it. And yeah. I was like, awesome. And then Jacob goes, and then he asked me how many hearts an octopus has. And I'm like, well... Okay. I was like, you know why he asked you that, right? And he's like, no. I was like, well, I think it's because an octopus has multiple hearts. And he was probably wondering how many times an octopus has to ask Jesus.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I know. It's pretty amazing. So we looked it up. I think it's three. I could be wrong. I'm not a biologist.
Oh, my gosh.
So he went back up and he's like, Remy, you were right. An octopus has three hearts. Were you thinking that they would have to ask Jesus and they're all three hearts? He's like, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Mare.
I know. It's funny, but.
So sweet. I lived with a family in college and one of the little boys came down and heard someone calling him. Mm-hmm. And he came downstairs and said to the mom, I mean, he was probably five or six. I hope I'm retelling this correctly.
Is his name Samuel?
No, but close. and he says, is Dad home? And she's like, no. She said, and when the older brother says, maybe it was God, go back and ask him what he wants.
Wow.
And so he goes back upstairs and he comes down. I mean, he's really small.
Yeah.
And he says, God says I'm going to need a big stick because I'm going to lead people like Moses.
Wow.
And he's 20 something now and he's a worship leader.
That's
I mean, it
amazing.
Is like, I think about that story all the time. That's when awesome. The older brother was like, just go back. It sounds like it's probably God. Just go back upstairs
that.
And ask him what he wants.
That's it. That's it. Like we make it this hard, complicated thing. Yeah. But I mean, when we become like children again and we just go,
yeah.
What do you want, God?
Yeah.
What is it that you want to say?
Yeah.
You know?
What does it look like? I think I got saved when I was five.
Yeah.
I meant it. I stuck with it.
Same.
I think maybe this is your experience too. I think I misunderstood grace for a while.
Right.
Because I always had it. I didn't always have it, but I always had it as long as I could remember.
Right.
I mean, I've had grace longer than I've been able to read.
Right.
So when you're raising kids who are making that decision, what are you going to do that your parents did that helped you keep walking in that? And what would you do different for yourself or for them?
Yeah.
I'm interested in that as someone who sees a bunch of my friends raising kids who get saved young. And as I, if I ever have kids, would hope they would get saved young.
Right.
Like I did.
Yeah. A lot of our conversation these days revolves around the fruit of the Spirit.
Oh, behavior. Got it.
Well,
I get it. No, that's fair.
I mean, it comes out in behavior, but it has to start with, you know, the fruit of
starts
your life
heart,
and
yeah.
what's going on in your heart. And, so yeah, because even giving your heart to Jesus when you're little, like he's still going to do so much in you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 36, Annie, and I look back over my life and I go, man, when I was in high school and college, I thought I had it. I thought I knew.
Same
I thought same. I just like, I was coasting along.
Yeah.
And now I go, I feel like I've walked through in the last few years and a little bit of a deconstruction of religion, really, in my life, where I had a lot of foundations that were put in people and what they said, and denominations, and the church that I grew up in, and the leaders that I followed, and blah blah blah, you know. But I think like at some point, even if you are walking with the Lord your whole life, you get to a place where you just go, I just really need to know. Who is God and what is he like? I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
And I can make it about so many other things and I can make it really complicated. But in this season of my life, I need to know the person of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to know his character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is he like on the days that are hard? What is he like on the days that are not so hard, you know?
Yeah.
So for my kids... Yeah, we talk about fruit of the Spirit a lot. And I think there are definitely practical things that I could be doing more of, as in like scripture memory.
Oh my gosh,
and,
well, you know, I'm not here like to tell you what you should be doing.
I know, But we did, but I want to. But I think like it's about even foster for me as a worship leader, but first as a worshiper, teaching my kids how to be worshipers. Mm. Like, and that's one of the most beautiful things. Like,
what does that mean? You don't mean that they need to raise their hands or they need to stand in a certain way. What does it teach? How do you teach kids how to worship?
Just talking about the posture of their hearts and how you can worship whether you're singing or you're not, whether you're, you know, playing with your sibling or you're helping mom with some chores or you're doing your schoolwork. Like, that can be worship too. But also, it does... I can't explain what it does to my heart when I see my kids in a corporate setting lifting their hands and singing their hearts out. I mean, if it does that to my heart, I can't imagine what it does to the heart of God, you know? So, yeah, I just want to see my kids love the presence of God.
Yeah.
And so in order for that to happen, I have to actually invite the presence of God into our home and facilitate that and foster that and go, God is talking to us. Like, what's he saying today? And, you know, even our neighbor last week, we saw an ambulance outside their house and I went out to check on them, and the wife had to go to the hospital for some health reasons. And so I got with the kids and I said, guys, we need to pray for Miss Wanda. And they all three just said, God, would you please heal her body? And just facilitating the faith and wonder and worship and joy in my home. Yeah. That's my goal. Not every day is like that. You know, some days I go, y'all go to bed. I'm trying again tomorrow.
That's right. But I think that's right. I mean, I think for our friends who are listening, they're like, I want my home to be like that. You said, invite the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Just start there. That's a very simple tomorrow, tonight, I'm going to invite the Spirit of God in my home and see what tomorrow looks like when I've invited him specifically.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's beautiful. And faith and wonder. I mean, I love that that's the name of the album, but I also love that is, to me, that is you, is you carry faith and wonder in you. And so I just love, why is that the title? Did it just feel as right to me, to you, as it does to me?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it did feel right. I mean, it is one of the songs, but I do want to live my life like that. Just full of faith and wonder with the name of Jesus ever on my lips. And because when you think about that, what is faith and why does that matter in our lives? You know, the righteous will live by faith and walk by faith and not by sight. And I'm tired of living by sight. I'm tired of doing what I can do. I want to see God do what only he can do.
Come on.
And that's where the wonder comes in. When you go like, wow, God, look at all that you are and all you've done in my life and how much you want to do. And I'm just in awe of you. And I want to, that's worship, you know? So, yeah.
When you listen to a live album, are you supposed to listen the whole way through like we were sitting at church, or can we put it on shuffle? I always feel like I'm going to miss something if I shuffle.
Well, you can put it on shuffle if you want. This was recorded, you know, start to finish. And every track is in order of how we recorded it.
So you laid it out like that on purpose.
Yeah, we laid it out like that on purpose.
That's what I need you to say to me, Mayor. Just like, Annie, don't hit shuffle.
Well, it's funny.
Go front to back.
I know, and you don't have to. I don't want to box you in. But
you're allowed to boss my spiritual life in this way.
Yeah, well, okay.
In a lot of ways, but in this way particularly.
We were going to release it, the whole thing, up front in December. And Spotify asked if we would release one song at a time, and my soul died a little, but I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Because I get it. It's the current climate of the music industry. People listen to songs before they listen to albums. And so I still listen to full records.
Yeah.
I need an experience. I don't want to just, you know, it's like right now. Well, this is, if I said that would just show you how techie I am. But like with playlists, I don't really understand playlists, and I never listen to playlists. I just listen to albums.
Yeah.
And that's what I love.
What are you listening to right now besides Faith?
Well, I mean, I'm so like, I go back. I go back to albums that have ministered to me in the past.
Yes.
And I revisit them. And I get stuck there for a while. Like today, I was working out and I was listening to the Bethel Have It All album.
Oh, sure. And is that the one with the heart on the front?
Yes. And just so good, you know? I mean that.
Do you know, I broke out a one that I Instagram storied about this, but I could not find it. It's called Dreams of God. It's an old YWAM album.
Oh, that's
like,
amazing.
I had it in 1997.
I didn't even know YWAM made albums.
They don't. It's okay. A album. And it's, it ended up, the punchline was, it was on my iTunes. I just hadn't looked, but you can't buy it anywhere.
Wow.
But I'm so, that album was so monumental to me during my first couple years of college.
Yeah.
That even just to go back and sing those songs again had me crying. Right. Going like, oh yeah, I asked you to do that 20 years ago and you're doing that.
So good.
And that's so awesome. Pulling back old ones like that, I think is brilliant. If we get to, the gift is y'all keep making new ones for us.
Yeah.
But I can still go back to, what is yours? After All? No.
Not for a moment.
Not for a moment. That's the one. I was like,
well, After All. Because
you
sing
After All. Thank you.
Yes.
Well, good. I was like, that's in there, right?
It's in parentheses.
But I mean, that album is a whole year of my Nashville life.
Wow.
Where I got dumped really bad and I saw God do amazing things. Yeah. And I mean, I guess every dump is really bad, but some dumps are really bad. When you
I get
dumped.
It. And, I remember.
And your album. So I go back there sometimes just to remember who God is.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you're going back to Bethel. What else?
I mean,
going
that's
back
not
to?
Even
Anything
that
else?
Far back, but no, like, if but we want to go that, if we want to go farther back, like Delirious Cutting Edge was my
Don't
jam.
Even. every song. I have that too.
Every
I keep
song.
It on my phone. It's every still on my phone. Song. I still go back to Cutting Edge.
Oh, it's the
I
best.
I hope they are laying on a beach somewhere because we keep paying for that music.
I mean, I think they're still doing music, which good for them. Yeah. I'd be laying on a beach somewhere, but seriously, that record
Mayor, we were rocking that in 95.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Look at, I totally. Mean, I hope that the Lord puts jewels in their crown from us. Those two women had two totally different paths and ended up being friends.
Yep.
Both shaped by the same album as teenagers.
Totally. Yeah. That's one that I'll never like grow tired of.
Ever.
Obviously.
I can do front to back on that one too. I can let that one just roll.
Yeah.
During my quiet time or while I'm cleaning the house or whatever.
And it's two discs. So
it's
that's
two
a commitment.
Discs. It's back when we had discs and
that's
it was two of them.
That's right.
I did think that was pretty amazing. The yellow and the blue. That's I was like, y'all are no joke.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
Man, that is some good old, I mean,
Yeah.
I love them. That when I think of my life, that Dreams of God one that, no, I'm sorry to all of you. You'll never be able to find it because I don't know how to help you.
Right.
I looked everywhere before I realized I had it. I feel about your albums the way I feel about that. And so that makes me really excited about Faith and Wonder.
Oh, thanks,
because I think,
Amy.
Man, this is the album that's going to, the songs have already been walking with me in my car, but I feel like Faith and Wonder is going to walk a lot of this year with me. And it's a year that I need God to do what I don't see.
Right.
And I need Faith and Wonder because I'm doing something I've never done before.
For sure.
In this career, right?
I get it. Well, that's awesome.
So how many songs is on?
Six.
Is okay. Great. Yeah. I love it.
So six. I might need to put out another one soon because I don't know that it will last a whole year.
Oh, girl, you are. We're still working cutting edge. You know I can put some on
repeat. That's true. That's
don't
true.
You worry.
And they are longer songs. Like there's some spirit moments. Like some of the tracks are like 6 minutes, seven
I mean, when
minutes.
You record, did you? Because that's one of my favorite things about worship albums is it genuinely feels like the Holy Spirit uses technology to enter a new space when you play that music.
Yeah.
When y'all were recording it, were there moments like, oh, this is the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I had friends that were there that were just like, well, sorry, I didn't really sing very loud because I was basically on my face in the corner. I'm like, no, that's all I wanted.
Yeah.
You know? So it was a really special night. And I think a lot of that was captured, you know, and I hope it translates to people where they just encounter God in their cars or doing dishes.
Well, it does
or
for sure on the ones that are already on Spotify.
Thanks for saying that.
I am. I'm excited to have the whole experience front to back as God and Mare intended. And so we shall listen to it in that
listen,
way.
Listen, I promise I won't judge you if you want to skip around. It is okay. You have full freedom to do that.
Freedom.
That's right.
What do you need from us? What do you need from your friends and people who are praying and
Prayer. I think just like a little bit of what I shared earlier, just praying for strategy. I need strategy from the Lord where I'm not working on my own strategy or man's strategy or even like here, these are the people who went before me and this is how they did it and it worked for them. Because I think when God calls you to something, It's not necessarily supposed to be cookie cutter and look like everybody else.
Yep.
And so you have to kind of blaze your own trail as you partner with the Holy Spirit and as you're led by Him. So I just need the Lord to be really clear.
Yeah.
And I need to be not so stubborn and controlling.
Yeah,
you know. Girl. But just trust the Lord and just go, God, you've got me this far, and I know you'll see me through to the end. But I'm excited for what God has ahead. It's funny how as I was mentioning earlier, I feel like I'm standing on the edge of something, but in so many ways, because of that, I feel like I need to pull back. Mm. Like I need to.
Right.
Be more intentional about rest. Yep. Be more intentional about listening. Be more intentional about here's my circle of family and people. Yep. And just go, okay, God, I'm leaning in here. Yeah. Do the deep work inside of me that you need to do before you carry it out through my life, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's God's kindness to us and his grace is that it's always a process. And we, you know, like we reach like maybe we reach this kind of marker, like a goal that we've set. And then it's like we need to retreat for a little bit and to rest and to get vision and download for what's the next season. And so I kind of feel like I'm there, but I'm not exactly sure how to navigate all of that. And, you know, still got things on the calendar. And
yeah.
I'm just basically telling you my whole life right now.
which is great. And if tomorrow you wish you wouldn't have, just call me back.
Fine. It's fine. Because I want it to be helpful for people.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's easy.
And what a gift to invite people into the middle.
Well, yeah, because I just don't, the last thing I want is for there to be this illusion that like, yeah, I just coast along and I get, you know, all these things to happen. And it's, I mean, granted, I'm so grateful for everything that God has done, but what I'm saying is like, there's so much behind the scenes and like the hidden battles and the wrestling and the, God, what is up and what is down, and what are you actually calling me to, and what do you want to do in my heart that's necessary? Like we're talking character development, you know, like basics, but like necessities for longevity.
Yeah,
necessity. You know, it's just
that's the trick, right? How do we figure out how to do this long-term?
Exactly, and I think it's like it's rest, it's integrity, it's intimacy with the Father, it's identity being rooted in him and not what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a big thing for me. It might be a thing for you too, where you go like, it's easy for me to go like, yeah, I'm a worship leader and a wife and a mom. But you strip it all away, like my identity and the only thing that can never be taken from me is my identity as a daughter of the Most High God. And so I want everything to come from that place, not me trying to maintain these other roles. Because if I let my identity flow from the place of daughter, that position as daughter, then it will maintain the other things that God has entrusted to me.
Yep.
I feel like God just gave me that revelation.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's
you
very
know when you're
good.
Just talking and you're like, Lord, I feel like
that
you're
was
speaking.
For, that was actually for me.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad we're recording this.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the strategy conversation is really important. I think probably maybe in churches I've experienced, we've under communicated that to the people of like, whether it's in your home or in your business. So for men or women who are running a business or work at a business, in your home, in your dreams, there is a battle plan you can ask for.
Yes.
Because I feel a little bit of a warning from God in me right now of going like, make sure you're talking to me before you're doing all this.
Right, right.
Make sure you're, you know, like get the strategy for me. A lot of open doors don't mean you go through all of them. A lot of closed doors don't mean you give up.
Yeah.
And so asking him.
Yeah.
And setting aside time to listen. That's the thing. I will drive from A to B while I'm like making a phone call and going, I need strategy, Lord. And he's like, I would really like to give it to you if you'd slow down for 18 seconds and listen to me.
Girl, but don't I know.
That is so much wisdom for you to give us to like ask for strategy on how to raise a person.
Yeah.
On how to.
Or three.
Yeah. Or three. Mm. And how to run a business and how to, you know.
Yep.
He knows.
Yep.
He knows what we don't know.
Yeah. And his strategy is way better than mine could ever be.
That's right. And as a daughter, we can go in. We have access to the throne room.
Yep.
And we can go into the king and go, hey, I know you may be busy, but you said I could come in as soon as I could.
That's right.
And I'm here to say, help me.
Yeah.
I need some strategy and I need some wisdom.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you know, that verse that's in James, it talks about how, like, when we ask God for wisdom, he will give it. Like, he will always give it without finding fault.
Yes.
Like, even the like without finding fault, I was like, why'd you put that in there? Like, but that's actually really significant. Mm-hmm. Because when we ask for wisdom, he's not going, well, sorry, you didn't spend enough time here, or sorry, you missed it last time. Yep. He goes, no, you don't I'll give it. You wisdom.
Yep.
Because he's preserving the glory of his name. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and even just like going back to churches whose leaders fail, like a lot of times you will see growth still in that church. You will see God moving in that church still, because he's after his glory and he's after drawing people to himself. And he will use a hypocrite. He will use somebody who is walking in sin. And maybe you're just like, no, wait, what? But he will use whoever he has to use.
And he says the anointing can't be revoked.
Exactly. The call of God cannot be revoked. He doesn't take it back. And so I think
people can squander it, but he doesn't take it back.
That's right. Yeah. And I think for all of us, it's like, I don't even know, again, where I was going with that. I don't know. I have young kids. everybody's calling me.
I know. Do you need to answer? We're done.
I don't know. No, I don't want to be done. This is so fun.
I know. It's really fun. Mary, well, I think it's so honoring of you to invite us into the middle of this, partly because it means that we get to watch what God does over the next 2 years. Or over the next, you know, and go like, man, I remember when she asked us to pray for strategy.
Yeah.
And that means what's happening now is strategy. So just know that my friends who are listening who pray, and a lot of them are learning like I am, learning how to pray and trying it.
Yeah.
That we will just ask God to give you strategy.
Thank you.
And wisdom.
Thank you.
And we will all listen to Faith and Wonder and know where it came from. That it came from deep wells that you had to dig.
Yeah.
So thank you for doing that work. I've said this to you before. This will probably make me cry. But I can't write my books without songs that carry me. Sorry.
Don't apologize.
And I've said to you before that you sing me to write. And so I'm very loyal to you forever, because it's without people like you who write songs that carry me, I can't do my job.
Wow.
And y'all are, the Levites is a real thing.
Mm.
The worshipers going first is a real thing. Yeah. And I am super aware. So I just want you to know I'm super aware that you go first. So whenever you need to come back into the camp, we will take care of you, because the Levites go first. And that is not lost on me as someone who doesn't have to go first.
Thanks, friend.
I get to follow behind that. So thank you. Okay.
Yeah, wow.
Sorry.
Okay.
I'm always Annie.
I love you, Annie.
Thank you. I love you too. Okay. So our final question, just to dry it up over here.
Yes.
Our final question is, because the show is called That Sounds Fun.
Uh-huh.
What do you do for fun?
What do I do for fun currently, or what do I want to do for fun?
Yes, either one.
Three things come to mind.
Okay,
they're all completely different.
Great.
I want to go back to Disney World, because you have a picture of Disney World. I want to go back. I want to go get a massage. That sounds really fun. I love paddle boarding.
Do you?
I do. I know that sounds silly. I need to try to do it in Nashville.
Yeah.
Well, because we don't live near an ocean, but we have a bunch of rivers, and I don't own a paddle board.
And you know that the lake that Percy Priest has paddle board clubs.
I know. Well, yeah.
I'm not good enough
to be in a club.
No. Clubs just mean they own the boards and we get to use them.
Oh, great.
You don't have to race.
Oh.
you just rent them.
Well, the thing that I like about paddle boarding is that you don't have to go fast. It's like this very calming, leisurely thing.
Have you done the yoga on it?
No. I haven't even done yoga. So I need to do yoga on the ground first, and then maybe we'll talk.
Can you imagine? It's so hard.
No,
I can't do it.
I can't even imagine. Like, I'm doing pretty good to stand up on that thing
for a while.
But we did a cruise a couple weeks ago, and we were singing for it.
Yeah.
And one of the stops had paddle boards and stuff. I'm like, this is my happy place. Yeah. I'm going to just get on this thing and go for a little while. I don't know. It's just really calming to me, because you can look. Usually when I've done it, I've been in these really clear waters where you can look down and just see the bottom.
Yeah.
I love the water.
Okay.
I've always loved the ocean. I've always loved to swim. So I don't know. Something about that just kind of revives me a little bit.
Yeah. I am very scared of sharks. So I always stay real on my board.
Right, right.
I went in Maui with Jeff and Alyssa Befke, and they were like, yeah, let's go out deep. And I was like, you guys better stay real close to me.
Well, especially Hawaii. Those are legit sharks.
Yeah,
those are North Carolina, where I grew up.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not really any sharky sharks.
Yeah. I saw a video on Instagram the other day because I was spending too much time on the Discovery tab, as I tend to do when I can't fall asleep.
Right.
And a girl was paddleboarding and she had like a cooler and all the stuff on her paddleboard. I was like, I wish I didn't fall off. I wish I could keep a cooler on the end of my paddleboard.
Oh my word.
Can you imagine just being able to keep like supplies on your paddleboard?
And not even have to like duct tape it.
You don't even like think about it. Wow. I'd be like, listen, I turn that thing over about 12 times every time I get on
it. That's okay. Well, you can work up to cooler status.
That's right. That's right. Mayor, thanks for making time today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I'm grateful. I love you.
Absolutely.
I'm glad we're on the same team.
Me too. Me too.
Oh, friends, sorry I cried. Y'all aren't surprised. But, man, I just love Meredith so much. She's just so dear. Her music is so meaningful in my life, as is her friendship. And I just love, love, love getting to chat with her today. So make sure you go ahead and grab her album, Faith and Wonder. It is everywhere available to you. iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, all the places. Anywhere that you want it, you can have it. It is just so, so good. I think you're going to love it. And make sure you give Meredith a follow all over the internet, Instagram and Twitter and all the places. And tell her thanks for being on the show and how much today's conversation meant to you. And if you need anything from me, you know me. I'm embarrassingly easy to find. Annie F. Downs over the place. Today, we'll say that F is for Faith because Mayor's album is Faith and Wonder. But Annie F. Downs on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the places you might need me, that's how you can find me. And if you get a chance to rate and review the show, it means so much. I'd really, really appreciate it as we continue to build this little place for our friends. I think that's it for today, you guys. So go out and do something that sounds fun to you, and I will do the same. And we'll see you back here Thursday, all Thursday, with our good buddy, comedian Trey Kennedy. Y'all aren't even ready. See y'all Thursday.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.